You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 2, Episode 21 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. It's our FAI Cup special, one of the most eagerly anticipated shows of the year every season. I know our FAI Cup specials were a big hit last year with our listeners and we're hoping tonight is going to be the same. John Breyer, welcome back.
Cheers, Kieran. How's things?
Great, and I know you love the cup competition, so I'm sure you're looking forward to tonight's show.
I love a good cup upset, whether it's probably from my past watching Yeovil Town knock out plenty of league scalps, but love the cup, yeah. Love the non-league minnows getting through.
Just going to say, it's the non-league upsets you're always looking for in cup competitions, and tonight we have the managers of the two remaining non-league sides in the competition.
We do. We'll be looking forward to speaking to Barry Prendeville. He had a decent career himself, but he's now manager of Maynooth University Town, and he's got a massive task away to Cork.
Couldn't have asked for a tougher draw.
Indeed. And we're also going to speak to Keith Cronin. He's the manager of CIE Ranch, and he's actually got further in this competition than his brother.
Yeah, Glenn Cronin, of course, the Shamrock Rovers assistant Bohemians legend, out of the cup, dumped out by Drogheda, who hosts Waterford, of course, in this last 16 tie. And we will be previewing all those last 16 ties later on in the show. But John, I didn't want to start with this one, but you're going to start with it. It was another humiliating night in Europe for Irish football. Obviously, no shame in losing to a side like Rosenborg, but I know there's been a lot of discussion on TV shows on other League of Ireland platforms in terms of Cork City's performance in Europe. They go out 5-0 on aggregate to the Norwegian side.
Cork went to Rosenborg needing a miracle, Kieran, and I never thought they were going to do it because they haven't scored a goal in Europe before this tie, and that didn't change. They did have a couple of half chances at best early on where Shepherd flashed across the goal mouth, but once again, it was down to poor defending for the opener. Failure to clear a free kick. Ball came back in. Not the first time McNulty's made a mistake. And he left a very, very easy goal for Rosenborg to go 1-0 up. And that was pretty much the tie over and done with.
McNulty's had a very poor season, John.
He has, yeah. And, the Cork defence, I mean, we've talked in the past about Cork having such a solid defence, and that's what they build the teams up. But
especially with the addition of Damien Delaney. But, I mean, he was caught ball-watching seriously poor for the second goal.
It was a long ball, Kieran, and something that you think would be meat and drink to that Cork defence, but very poor. That was 2-0. They did have a couple of half chances, like I said. Sadly, a hit post from a free kick. But at that stage, you know, a shot went through McNulty's legs to make it 3-0. That just summed up how Cork had played in Europe this season. Sadly, he had a chance still to hit the bar, so he hit the woodwork twice, and the follow-up from Keohane was pushed wide. But 3-0, Kieran, really, really disappointing from Cork. Completely failed to score a goal in Europe this season.
Yeah, this look, I think without Johnny Maguire last season, they would have struggled to score goals in Europe. I mean, they got credited for getting through a couple of rounds last season in Europe, but they beat a very poor Linfield side, and it took a penalty there to really sway that tie in their favour. So I'm not surprised by Cork's performances in Europe. I think the setup and the attitude and the mentality of John Caulfield doesn't suit European football. You'd like to think he'll learn from this, but we've seen Cork go out with a whimper before in Europe under Caulfield, and nothing has changed. I know the lads on Soccer Republic talked about maybe being selfish in terms of just wanting domestic success. But I mean, Cork, last season after the league and the Cup double, you really thought that things were changing there. I mean, the support they get off the pitch, the revenue now, it's really gone up a notch at Cork. So you would like to think their European performances were going to follow, but that hasn't been the case. And I know you want to have a quick discussion. I'm eager not to go too deep into this because I think it's been discussed a lot, and I don't want to sound like we're pulling teeth, but where is the League of Ireland now in terms of Europe?
Well, I'm concerned it's going backwards, Kieran. I have to say, I mean, if you look at the teams in Europe, okay, we might have had the odd good performance in second legs, but reality, Dynamo Minsk had Derry out before the second leg, Rovers were in big trouble before second leg, and Dundalk, okay, they got through one round, but they were well beaten away from home in the in their second
match. The only thing you have to say though, they're extremely tough draws, and I know we were all looking at Dundalk being the one that we were hoping was going to get through, but that Larnaca side went and won 7-0 on aggregate against an Austrian side, and the Austrian league would be no tin pot league, John.
No.
So I mean, the draws didn't go in our favour, but obviously that goes back to the coefficient and not having good records in Europe in recent seasons. But I mean, just in terms of finances, we are a million miles away from even an average league at the moment.
These results are showing it. And I have to say, yes, Cork do have the problems. For me, Caulfield set them out completely wrong in Europe.
Yeah, totally agree.
And but, you know, we're a million miles away at this stage, Kieran, I have to say. And I'm very, very disappointed. I thought we were getting somewhere with Dundalk, but you know, it's been very, very disappointing this season.
You'd like to think, though, with the investment now at Dundalk, this is their first season. It's a bit of a bedding in period, a bit of a feeling out process, getting used to the league, looking to see where they are in Europe, where how much investment's needed. You'd like to think with the peak six lads there, but the money will follow.
That's just one club, Kieran.
That was going to be my point.
Our champions are getting battered by, you know, a Norwegian side. You know, it's surely the level we have to be at.
That was going to be my point. I mean, we're looking at Dundalk. We're hoping Cork, with the way things are going off the field there, that they can slowly, you know, keep working towards Europe. But I mean, a couple of million here and there is absolutely nothing compared to some of the other sides. I mean, that Larnaca side that knocked out Dundalk, they had players that had gone and played and been proven in La Liga. We are a million miles away from ever being able to attract players of that quality.
But Kieran, that league that they play in, a Cypriot league, I mean, that shouldn't be too much far in advance of the League of Ireland, surely.
Well, Nicosia got to the quarterfinals of a Champions League. I don't think we're ever going to be saying that for a long, long time. Yeah. There'll be plenty of other podcasts that have come and gone before then, John. But I mean, I think we're a million miles away. People are going to point fingers always at the FAI, but the investment simply isn't there. I mean, you can't expect the FAI to just throw money at clubs. We've seen in the past how that's worked out, where clubs have just gone and wasted it on player budgets. Next thing, they found themselves in financial trouble. I think what the clubs need to do is, like Dundalk, they need to try and look for outside investment. But we've seen recently with Galway, that's a lot easier said than done in attracting and securing those type of investors. So look, I think it's a long, long way for the League of Ireland to go, and we're hoping we're going to see improvements in the next few years.
I just hope we're not having the same conversation next year and the year after about League of Ireland in Europe.
Just hoping maybe
some progress.
I mean, if Dundalk can win the league this season, you'd be hoping that potentially they might be seeded in the Champions League, John. But again, that goes back to the argument. It's one club. You're going to be pinning all your hopes on one club. So I'm afraid we probably are going to be having this conversation this time next year.
Well, that's a very negative picture we've painted so far, isn't
this
it?
This is why I didn't want to start on this.
Yeah, but I think we had to discuss it because, you know, we are disappointed with what's happened. So let's just...
While we're on the topic of the league, John, I suppose we may as well, before we go on to our Premier Division review, bring up this issue that has raised its head in the last couple of days. The FAI considering a third division in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, it's absolute great news as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But as we're going to hear from a couple of non-league managers later, it all goes back to the question of funding. Now, if Premier League and First Division clubs are struggling to stay afloat, as they are, what hope would an amateur club have? And let's face it, the third division is not going to be funded as much as the first and the Premiership.
Yeah,
so
they're not going to have the fan
there has to
there,
be
yeah.
a complete change in mindsets and payments for this to work.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's fantastic. And we've spoken so many times over the last year and a half about a pyramid structure for Irish football. This would be the start of that. But as you said, how are these clubs going to fund it? I mean, we're going to hear later, as you said, from the CIE manager. And he was saying that just to put on this game against UCD, it's cost them well in excess of €1,000.
Yeah.
So you take that into a League of Ireland setting, you're going to probably double that, if not treble that, for a match day. So how are these clubs going to survive? They're not going to have big fan bases. They're not going to make the money that way. I mean, to enter the League of Ireland, it costs you a lot of money. So are the FAI going to cut that back for these clubs? In terms of the stadiums, is there going to be the same regulations in terms of licensing? I mean, there's so many questions to answer. This is simply just an idea at the moment. But I think in terms of helping bridge that gap between under-19s football and senior football, this is definitely the way to go. And it is the starting point for enticing non-league clubs into the League of Ireland setting. Because at the moment, John, I think you know yourself, we're simply not doing that. If a club is to go out of business, there is nobody there to replace them. And I'd just take it off topic for a moment. The A Championship should have never been scrapped, because essentially that's what the A Championship was. It was a mixture of League of Ireland reserve teams and the likes of Tralee, Carlow, etc. Those clubs were always talked about as maybe having the potential to step up. Now you don't ever hear that argument. So huge short-sighted thing there, but that's something we've seen in the past from the decision makers in this country.
I think it's pie in the sky stuff at the moment, Kieran, but it's okay to say this thing, but what they need to do is they need to have a proper structure in place, work out how they're going to fund it before they can even consider it.
Yeah, I think we've said enough on that, John. We'll kick into our Premier Division review, and we will start with Cork City, who came back from Europe and they suffered a 1-1 draw at home to Pats. I say suffered because it gave Dundalk the advantage now in the title race.
Yeah, Pats were good value for this as well.
Yeah,
and they had some good chances where through Ryan Brennan, he shot over and then he headed straight at the keeper. But one fellow that impressed me was Dean Clark. He caused problems.
Most
of the match. Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he it's Clark that scored the opener in the second half to give them a 1-0 lead. And, you know, he crossed for Conan Byrne as well, and he headed straight at McNulty. If he'd gone either side, that could have been 2-0.
I just thought of that chance. Do you think Conan Byrne had the chance to take that one down, maybe on his chest?
Well, he had the space, didn't he? You know, it's hard to be too critical of it, you know, because he's got the on target, which you always say, but maybe he did have a bit more time on that. But unfortunately, Pats were made to pay for those missed chances late on when couple of substitutes combined to give Josh O'Hanlon the equaliser there for Cork. 1-1, which hasn't done them any favours, but good result for Pats.
We highlighted Josh O'Hanlon's performance. I know it was against Home Farm, people would say, but he looked sharp. He got a couple of goals in that game, a couple of assists. I think he probably feels hard done by not to have started this game. I'm sure after that goal, he's certainly going to be knocking on John Caulfield's door. There was a couple of other decisions there. Maybe Caulfield didn't switch the team up enough after travelling back from Europe. Pats, though, will definitely feel aggrieved not to have taken all three here. But either way, it's a boost to the folk over Oriel Park. And we'll go over now to their away game in Bray. They were 3-1 winners at the Carlisle Grounds.
Yeah, 3-1. Enda Minogue was in goals there for Bray, and he saved well from Huben early on, but was Huben's who opened the scoring with a header from a cross from Jamie McGrath, who's been impressive this season. 2-0 when Benson tapped in after Gatland won a header from a corner, as we've seen plenty of times. He's such a danger in the box.
Great
from set pieces. But Bray pulled it back 2-1, a real surprising mistake from Chris Shields, who's been very, very good this season, but a mistake. And it was Jake Kelly that pulled the goal
former
back.
Dog man.
Yeah, indeed. And the match, though, was finished as a competition when Dylan Connolly made it 3-1 after a cross from Huben.
I thought some of the other Dundalk goals were quite soft, but that was a quality move from the final goal from Dundalk. Connolly seems to have added that to his game this season. We've seen it in Europe away in Tallinn, where he's getting in at that back post and gambling, looking for that cross, getting the tap-ins. Always good to see from the wide players, but a good win for Dundalk there. And, of course, they followed that up then, John, on Monday night. The rearranged fixture against Sligo in the Showgrounds. Back-to-back away wins for Dundalk. 2-0 winners.
Yeah, it was Duffy and that man, Huben, again, to give them that lead and the game in hand at the top, Dundalk. So they're sitting very pretty at this stage in the season. And a bit of chat about a possible Ireland call-up for Pat Huben.
Yeah, I was having a tweet about this last night, John. One of the League of Ireland accounts was just suggesting whether he should or should not be in the squad. I mean, we all watch English football on a regular basis, and there's certainly a huge shortage of Irish strikers that are in form or even playing at the moment. I mean, you look at Shane Long, he can barely get a game for Southampton.
He's been poor for a while though, Shane Long.
Seanie McGuire is injured, obviously. I know there's a couple of players in Scotland maybe getting goals, but I think certainly, I know we don't always like to suggest players just getting a call up to train even with the squad, but I think Martin O'Neill should certainly have a closer look at Huben. I mean, in terms of his physical presence, the man has legs like tree trunks, John.
Yeah.
He's a great hold-up player. And that would certainly suit Martin O'Neill's style of football. I mean, that's what Jonathan Walters was used at for many years. So I think his goal record this season speaks alone. People are starting to talk about whether he can become the first League of Ireland player in 60 years, I think it is, to get 30 goals in a league season. So I think on that form alone, he should certainly be considered.
Yeah, well, I look around and I don't see too many other options out there, to be honest. So it's a good call as far as I'm concerned. We'll move on to Waterford's victory in Derry, and it was an absolute lovely opening goal from Waterford. It was a lovely move. I don't know if you saw it. Ended with Noel Hunt scoring to put them one up.
I highlighted Noel Hunt on last week's show. You might remember, John, I was saying that I was watching the game down in Cork, where Waterford, I thought, were unlucky to lose. And that Hunt's physical condition impressed me, because we had concerns maybe coming back. He suffered a lot of injuries in his career. Player coming back from England, we've seen it before where they come in and maybe the attitude isn't right and the fitness levels aren't right. That's certainly not the case with Hunt. He looks to be one of the fittest players in the league, in my opinion. And I think we're going to see plenty of goals from him before the end of the season.
Yeah, well, he had a good game in this match. He had other chances. You know, Jared Doherty saved from him later on. But the equaliser came from Dean Shields. It was really a tap-in after great work from the Hale brothers there. Hunt, we talked about, he hit the side netting. But it was Holland that made it 2-1 after a lovely ball from Bastian Heary, who we talk about plenty of times on this show. Talked about Hunt forcing the save from Doherty. Akinadi also as well couldn't beat Jared Doherty. But towards the end, Connor save from Ali Roy, and he hit the bar as well at the end. So Waterford really needed that, though, in that battle for third place.
Waterford should have been out of sight, John. I thought Derry were quite poor. Waterford created plenty of chances, just didn't take them. And I think Rennie alluded to that in his post-match interview on Soccer Republic. But I did call this one last week, John. I just felt, despite that big win in the Cup for Derry, that they're just not firing on all cylinders. Things just don't seem right there at the moment. Well, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's just lingering on from that European fiasco. But even before that, results have started to slide. And that great home form they had since moved to the Brandywell certainly isn't as impressive as it was. So this result was no surprise for me. But as you said, a big boost for Waterford in terms of Europe.
There's always question marks when it comes to the Derry defence. Personally, on just a, you know, I know we were talking about Europe earlier, but on such a selfish note, I think Waterford have the money and the backing behind them that if they were to finish third this season, qualify for Europe,
that's exactly what was going through my head this week. Yeah,
you know, that would, from a league's point of view,
I think that's what the league needs.
Yeah, I think so. Bit of investment and somebody to have a go at it, but we'll see. There's still quite a bit of football to play yet, and third place by no means guaranteed for Waterford.
Although, just in terms of Kenny Shields and Derry, he has written his team off. He feels third's now gone.
Yeah, I completely agree with him, Kieran. It's just the way they play. And
should he be coming out with comments like that, though, or is it a little bit of mind games?
Well, I think it's just reality, Kieran. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there's no point in saying Longford will win the Premier League within 2 years because, you know, it's not going
to
happen.
We've had a lot of Derry guests on the show, both players and fans, and it's always great to get the fans' perspective. It's hard to judge where Derry should be as a club. I mean, they don't have the same financial backing as a Dundalk, as a Cork, as a Rovers, as a Waterford even. So automatically on that, you should say they shouldn't be inside the top three or four. Probably where they are is correct. But, you know, Derry, you always have this romantic view of them. Such a fantastic club, great new stadium, great supporters. So it's a difficult one.
I think they should be doing better than they currently are, though.
It's just consistency. And as you mentioned, that back four has been pretty much shambolic this season.
Yeah, well, that's something that obviously needs ironing out, because the goals they're shipping, not necessarily these ones against Waterford, but they've conceded some really poor stuff this season.
We're talking about Waterford being able to push on for next season, but in terms of Derry, what needs to be done there to try and get them closer to that top four if they're not going to get in it this season?
I think it's tricky because they seem to lose players, their best players, on a regular basis, and they have trouble keeping people. Now, I'm surprised about that, you know, because it's a decent club, Derry, and you think that players would be happy playing there in front of the Brandywell, but they just seem to, you can't go on losing your best players. We've seen it with Dundalk.
I mean, their top performer this season, Ronan Curtis, there got a goal last night for Portsmouth. So
he's flying for Portsmouth. Yeah, it's not the first goal he's scored for them, but the likes of Ali Roy, these type of players, they have to keep hold of
them. And that'd be my big concern now at the moment with the form he's in, that we've seen players just come and go very quickly from Derry, and if they can't keep players like him that are in top form, then they really have no chance pinning down European places on a regular basis. But look, we've gone fairly in depth on those two clubs. I hope the supporters of those clubs have enjoyed that little debate and agree with it. And if you're listening, folks, we'd love a subscription either on iTunes or follow us on our new SoundCloud account. You'll find that on www.soundcloud.com/betweenthestripes, and every follow is really appreciated. Next fixture, John, it was a huge blow to Limerick's chances of avoiding what looks most likely now will be a relegation playoff at the end of the season. They lost at home 3-1 to Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a bit concerned for Limerick because the performances aren't great, and it certainly wasn't great against a Sligo team here that were in danger of being pulled into that playoff position at the bottom. And it was that new signing, Mikey Drennan, who opened his account after scoring from across from the evergreen Raf Quartaro. Limerick, yes, you could say they only had a couple of half chances there, but then they gave away a penalty and Drennan duly converted that to make it 2-0. The goal that pulled back was good. It was a very quick thinking free kick, and Shane Duggan
should never be let happen though. You have to stand in front of that one and stop, even if you take a yellow card.
It was naive, wasn't it? Yeah, it was very naive. But for me, the best goal of the game, the Raf Quartararo.
Best goal of the weekend. Should be a goal of the season contender. The way he hit that ball.
Yeah, lovely run, powerful shot. 3-1, great goal, game over. Morrissey had a chance to pull him back, but he missed a one-on-one at the end.
Don't think he's back to full fitness yet.
No,
I think when
he's
he gets
been out
back,
a long time.
Playing
yeah.
regularly, I think he could be a key asset for Limerick, should they end up in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. He certainly is their major goal threat, but a bit rusty.
And the big game from the weekend, John, the big headline, the big result, it was the big derby. Rovers losing at home to Bohemians. Bohemians whitewashed Shamrock Rovers this season.
Well, it's a strange one to work out why that's the case, but they seem to have this hoodoo over Rovers, don't they? And Boyd loved this one, winning at Teller. Cool strain, unmarked header early on. Now, that went wide. That was real poor effort. Daniel Carr created a couple of chances, but not too much luck. But both should have had a penalty. Lopez brought down Kelly there, Daniel Kelly. I didn't see any reason why that wasn't given.
I think in the derbies this season, there's been some very controversial decisions, and Boas don't seem to have got the rub at the green, but the results have still gone their way.
Yeah, Lee forced a good save from Manus from a corner. And Aaron Green hit the side netting at the other end. But the winner came from a lovely flowing move involving Keith Ward and Buckley. But it was Owen Stokes that came off the bench to get the winner.
I think I called this one perfectly, John. My predictions aren't usually too on point, but I mentioned after that big win against Wexford, a lot of people said, well, what's the value in Boas going down to Wexford and winning 7-0? They've learnt nothing from that. But I pointed out the performances of Stokes and Corcoran and the fact they needed confidence.
Yep.
And then I said that I felt they'd win this derby. And it was that man Stokes with a fantastic finish. There was pandemonium in the box. It was as if he had to weave his way around. Car crashes going on in front of him inside the box. And he finishes it in the net to cause absolutely wild scenes in that away end.
I have some concerns over Rovers' midfield because
I've had them concerns for a long time, John.
Yeah, but nothing's changing there.
No.
And we keep talking about the likes of Ronan Finn and Greg Bulger. They're not up with the pace with matches. There don't seem to be any kind of closing down of the Bows midfield in this and the front players. I just thought they'd gone AWOL.
I mean, as far as I can see, a lot of the pressure seems to be getting pinned on the shoulders, of young Aaron Bulger in midfield. And I've mentioned it a few times that I've been at a few Rovers games. I've seen Bulger play. And for me, I'm watching Ed Irvine every week for Longford. And for me, he could easily slot in and do the job that Bulger's doing and probably do it better. Now, people are going to say he's biased, he's a Longford fan.
He's having a torrid time because he's getting no protection.
Mm. But, I mean, I shouldn't be able to come on this show and say I'm watching a First Division player every week and I feel he could do a job for Rovers. Rovers are the biggest club in this country. There's no First Division player that should be getting anywhere near their first team. But at the moment, I mean, things just look stale in that midfield. There hasn't been enough change. I think Bradley has questions answered there. He did well with the goalkeeping situation, got Manus back. Bazunu now, they've sold him on for a fee of 400,000, which is another great financial boost. But I think that's the problem now, that people are starting to see Rovers as just a selling and a development club, more interested in transfer fees than winning trophies.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be the case for a big club like that, should it?
They should be well able to balance both.
Yeah, I can understand why they've let Bazunu go. 16-year-old, I mean, you can't turn down 400 grand.
He can't turn it down,
that.
And the club can't turn down that type of money.
No. I just hope Rovers have got plenty of add-ons in there, because the lad could go on to... You just don't know. He could either flop at Man City or he could be their first choice keeper in a few years' time. You just don't know. So 400 grand for a potential first choice keeper for 10, 15 years is nothing. They want to have plenty of add-ons in there. And I think because of the competition for him, we're talking about Spurs, weren't we, maybe being interested in a few others. Hopefully they've done their due diligence and got that in place. But look, to me, there's too many players in Rovers shirts that aren't putting the shift in.
Yeah. I mean, I think signers like Green have been he seems to have put in some good performances.
He's freshened it up a bit.
Yeah, I know Watts didn't have the best Dublin derby, but I think a great addition. And I think they're the sort of players they need to be adding. Players with a bit of spark, a bit of energy. You've mentioned Bulger, you didn't mention Sam Bone there, but I think they're too stale in that midfield. I don't think they have the mobility to get around that midfield. There's a couple of other players you'd have question marks over. I know Karen Shaw, I think the potential is there, but they need to show it. I mean, they're not getting goals on a consistent and a regular basis. Rovers, the minute you mention their name, the first player that pops into your head is Gary Twigg. Yeah. I mean, they haven't had a striker like him since, whereas the Dock have been well able to replace the likes of McMillan with Hooban. They've replaced their Richie Towels, they've replaced their Daryl Horgans with like Michael Duffy, etc. So why can't Rovers go out and do the same? Is there a problem there with the scouting network?
I think the players that they brought in just aren't at the same level.
Yeah, I have to agree.
You know, Daniel Carr, he looks good, but he's just, you know, is he that kind of standard? Mm. I'm not 100% sure.
I think he needs support up front, John. Yeah. I think he's very isolated any time I've seen him play.
I think the midfielders, I have to say, Bradley should be reading the absolute riot act at them, the way they're playing. It's just really poor, and I question whether Bradley should be in charge next year, because to me it's the same old, same old. Nothing seems to be changing.
I think quite simply it's going to come down to Europe, John, whether they qualify, whether they get that cash pot of gold. If they don't, did the board look and say
there's no FAI Cup for them? That's gone. Yeah. And to me, I can't see them finishing in the European positions.
Not the way they're playing at the moment.
No.
We're going to hear from our first guest of the evening now, folks. It's the Dublin Derby hero, Keith Ward. So, Bulls fans, it's the one you've all been waiting for. We have the Dublin Derby hero on the line now. It's, of course, Keith Ward. Keith, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much.
So, the big question, Keith, where's the corner flag?
I don't know. You'll have to ask someone at Shamrock Rovers.
I don't think you would have got that if Father Dougal Maguire was around.
No, absolutely not.
But another amazing night for Bulls.
Yeah, great night. It's just kind of the way it went for us this year in the derbies. We've obviously got the better of it with three wins and a draw with a kind of a late goal in Dalymount. So probably couldn't ask for better in them four games, and to finish it off in Tallaght was a bit sweet.
Mm. We had you on after the last Dublin Derby and a win for Bulls, and we spoke about the need for Bulls to push on. I suppose in the league it's going to be difficult to do that now, but you have a huge FAI Cup game coming up this weekend away to Galway. Could be a tricky tie there. How important is it that Bulls get through to the next round?
Yeah, it is. It's something we've kind of spoke about as a group this year, that we'd love to go on a cup run. You know, it's obviously, you know, it's saying these things, it's great and all, but, you know, we would obviously like to go and get ourselves into the quarterfinals come Friday night. So, and you never know, it's luck of the draw, but, you know, we can't look ahead of Galway at the moment. We need to go there and be as professional as we can, because, you know, like, we're not, if we don't turn up on a night, you know, we're capable of being beaten by anyone. So, you know, we just have to go there and just be as professional as we can and hopefully put ourselves in the half for the next round.
Yeah, I think Galway will probably be up for this one, because they were pretty awful last weekend against Longford. They'll be wanting to certainly prove a point with a decent performance against Bowes.
Yeah, I know. I think they were beaten 4-1 by Longford at home. So obviously, you know, there could be a few changes and a few lads coming in wanting to prove themselves. So it's probably not great for us seeing them losing 4-1, and they'll come into this game hungry, and it's a cup game. So yeah, it could be an interesting game, you know, and we just kind of have to bring our form in that we've had the last few weeks and just kind of hopefully come out with the win and just be, get us into the next round.
And I suppose the FAI Cup has an extra relevance for teams like Bowes, and that realistically now it's the only way into European qualification. So that'll be another thing that you'd be desperate to do well in this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not looking to win the cup for thinking of Europe next year. I'd love to just get to the Aviva and actually win the cup. Like, obviously, I think Europe's just a bonus that comes with it. But you're not winning it to get into Europe. I just want to win the cup to win the cup. You know, it'd be great. And maybe even if Rovers got four and we won the cup, it'd be a bit better.
It's been a strange season for Bulls, really, Keith. Very up and down, especially when you're considering the great success you've had in these derby games. You'd like to think that Bulls would be a little higher in the table. But from your own personal point of view, some very good performances this season. Are you pleased with your own personal performance?
Yeah, I feel like maybe my performances has been a bit like the team. It's a bit just frustrating and up and down, and some good nights and some bad nights. But as a team, we do have to be a bit disappointed at where we are in the league. Obviously, we'd like to be higher up the table, but it's been one of them seasons where we were playing well and not picking up points, and then some games I thought we were pouring off and we couldn't wait points, so it's just been frustrating. But I've been pleased, I think, as a team. We've been pleased with our form since the break, apart from Sligo, which was a bad night in Daly Mount. We've actually played well in all our other games, and we started to get a lot of goals and clean sheets. But on my own performances, I have been happy enough now. I think I've still been a bit inconsistent, but maybe I should be chipping in with a few more goals. But I have reasonably been happy enough for how it goes, and you know, I seem to be playing most weeks, so I have to be happy with that.
Has it been the home form that's been most disappointing?
Yeah, probably. I know the last kind of few games we played now at home, we put in a few goals and we've won, but at the start of the season, or the first half of the season, I thought some nights we were playing well and we'd come away with a 1-0 defeat and we just weren't finding the net. And it's frustrating at home, you know, because our home fans come out every week for us, to be fair, and they've been great this year. And even after games, they're clapping us off when we've probably been poor. So, you know, you want to reward them a bit more with some better performances at home. But hopefully we can finish the season as strong as we can. And maybe, like last year, we finished the season strong, and who knows what can happen.
Whatever about the on-field performances, I think you've done yourself the world of good off the field this season. I mean, you had the corner flag incident, and then as well a few weeks ago, locked the keys out of the van. That was a great image as well.
Oh, stop. That was probably I just got stitched up, and that's the same take off. So, yeah, just one of them things. I just can't keep myself out of trouble at the moment.
Oh, well, that's why it's the greatest league in the world, Keith. Thanks very much for joining us once again, and best wishes for that big cup game down in Galway at the weekend.
Thanks very much for having us. Cheers.
Cheers, Morty.
Cheers, Keith.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So as always, John, we cover both leagues equally here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and we're going to move on now to our first division results.
Yeah, and a result, first of all, that just gave a little bit of glimmer of hope to other teams in the first division for that automatic spot. UCD were held 2-2 at Cove.
Yeah, if you want to just run us through the goal scorers there, and then I'm going to make my point about this fixture.
Yeah, Hull and Walker for Cove, Connor Davis and Gary O'Neill for UCD.
Right. We've had a lot of tweets, a lot of Facebook comments this season regarding refereeing performances.
Mm-hmm.
And most weeks we don't get into it because we don't have time. Other weeks, you know, there's some decisions that could be 50-50. The decision to give a penalty in the last couple of moments to UCD in this game was an absolute disgrace. It robbed Cove of a well-deserved win. Basically, the player falls over the ball, John. The referee blows the whistle to the amazement of everyone in the ground. UCD are a very, very good side. They don't need any assistance in getting results. They're probably well on their way to a first division title. I know you're probably thinking, well, Cove season's over. It doesn't mean a lot to them. But to go and beat the league leaders would have been a great boost to Stephen Henderson's players.
Yeah.
And I know Stephen Henderson took his frustration out later on social media. I know volunteers at the club there were highlighting the performance of the referee. We've seen it ourselves this season in the first division, John. The level of refereeing in the first division in particular is an absolute disgrace.
Well, it's not just the referee, it's the linesmen and women as well. They seem to be afraid to make any kind of decision. But having said that, I watched a championship match the other day. I watched Leeds against Swansea last night.
Mm-hmm.
And the linesman was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't make a decision.
Mm.
And you just have to wonder overall if it's just that is the standard. But League of Ireland in particular, some of the refereeing I've seen this season has been, well, nothing short of atrocious.
I was due on the big kickoff show on Liffey FM this week, but unfortunately their phone lines went down. But for their listeners, that saved them listening to me. But one of the topics they wanted me to cover was the standard of refereeing in the League of Ireland. And one thing I've pointed out in both articles on BetweenTheStripes.ie and on this show, Frank Gavin made a comment when he was on the Greatest League in the World podcast, that the underage leagues are not just for development of players, it's for development of referees. Now, I've gone to some of these underage games, and a lot of the referees are just local league referees.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound disrespectful, but they're not in the best shape in the world. They don't need to be for the level they're refereeing at. They're then refereeing underage League of Ireland games, which are quite a quick pace. They're not able to keep up with the play. I mean, I've seen linesmen giving offside decisions from the halfway line because they're not able to get down towards the corner flag. And then the players are getting frustrated. There's brawls kicking off in these games because games are getting out of control. I've seen it at an underage level. I mean, there's no referees coming through this league. I don't know what league Frank Gavin is watching. There is absolutely no development of referees going on.
And teams seem to be getting the same referee week in, week out.
Not for Town. John McLaughlin is refereeing their game against Shelburne this weekend. According to the club's media officer, who put up a tweet there last night, John McLaughlin had every game was involved either as a referee or a fourth official every game in the month of July. That's not on. That's not correct. That's not the way to run a league.
No.
I mean, he was involved in a huge controversy in Talca Park. There's no way he should be anywhere near Longtown fixture for a couple of weeks after that. But that goes back to what I think is going on. I think there's a shortage of referees in this country. I think we're going to see a huge shortage of young referees coming through, both because at grassroots football, there's far too much abuse on the sidelines towards referees. And then, as I've mentioned, this underage league, it's just old fellas, to put it simply. So, I mean, I don't know what Frank Gavin, but he needs to sit down and take a look at this, because this is becoming a serious, serious issue. There's no way you can develop a league if you don't have the referees to give the most basic of decisions. And that's exactly what we've seen in this Cove game.
Yeah, and like we said, you know, there is a lack of them. We seem to get the same ones each time. And obviously that leads to even more problems, because they're going to get more abuse from the fans, because it's that fella that gave a penalty a couple of weeks ago or sent that player off. And, you know, that is an issue.
Mm. Look, we'll move on to our next fixture, John. At Lone, give a good account of themselves, but Finn Harps ran out 3-1 winners at Lizzie Wallen.
Yeah, they won up, weren't they? I'm going to have a go at pronouncing the goal scorer's name here. Are you ready for this? It's Calandarish Villy.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but Nathan Boyle with a brace and Keith Cowan made it 3-1 to Harps.
Not sure if you've seen the video of the third goal.
Nope.
Brilliant strike, absolutely wonderful volley, comes across his body.
Keith Cowan's goal.
Yeah, I think he hits it on the left peg and in off the post. A brilliant trademark volley, but important win for Harps there. Keeps them second in the table, and second is going to be a huge advantage, as we said a few times, in terms of that playoff.
Yeah, and it's not out of the question that they could catch UCD, but it would need a real collapse for them. Yeah,
not for me.
Wexford 1, Shelburne 2. Shelburne stay in the playoff hunt thanks to a double from Greg Morehouse. Dobbs with the goal for Wexford.
I think you have to take your hat off to Owen Heary in terms of the signings he's made during the season. Morehouse wasn't pulling up any trees in the Premier, but I think he could see with a run of games, especially if he was going to go down to First Division level, that he would start firing. He's doing exactly that. They've brought in then Carl Moore and Paddy Kavanagh, two Premier Division players, proven Premier Division players. I said it on last week's show, I think that front three is probably as good as anything in the First Division, and there's probably teams in the Premier looking saying, I wish we had a front three like that. You've got David O'Sullivan, who hasn't scored in a few weeks, but you just know that he knows his way to goal, and he's going to have a say before this season's over. He could even have a say at City College Stadium again at the weekend in the FAI Cup. So Shells are going really well at the moment, and better performance from Wexford, but look, I don't think they're expecting anything in terms of results against the likes of Shells this season.
Cabo drew 2-2 with Drogheda. A bit of a dent in Drogheda's playoff hopes. Manahan and Dalton for goals for Cabo. Drogheda Brennan with a penalty, and Kieran Kelly.
Kieran Kelly is the man getting all the late equalisers this season. He got one at home against Longford very early on in the season with literally the last kick of the game. And I think he's chipped in quite a few goals for a fullback, so that's a positive for Drogheda. But as we've said many times on the show, they have a great spread of goals all across the squad. You'll obviously say it's dropped points, John, but I mean, they did lose here at Stradbroke earlier in the season, so Cabo have shown their ability to get results against the big sides at home, so in a way Drogheda have gained a point.
Yep. Longford ended Galway's faint playoff hopes with a pretty emphatic 4-1 victory at Galway. Jamie Doyle with two, and the man that everybody's keeping an eye on at the moment, Dylan McGlade, with another
including
brace,
including the president.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he was very impressed with the performance of Longford's number 23. But I was at this game, John, and I have to say, Galway are the poorest side, bar Athlone and Wexford, I've seen this season. They were absolutely disgraceful on the night. I mean, their back four.
It's very slow, isn't it?
Very slow. There's a couple of players that aren't in any physical condition to be anywhere near a League of Ireland pitch.
This is Galway. They're a big, big club.
I think you could tell the minute this game kicked off, obviously Galway, you know, they've had a lot of big sporting events on recently. There was a very small crowd. I think it was just over 500. It usually be a lot more towards the 800 mark in Galway.
And this was a six-pointer. This was do or die jobs for playoff.
That's what the point I was going to make was, from very early on in the game, you could get the sense that Galway's players felt their season was already over before this game. They put no effort in. It was like watching a pre-season friendly. Atmosphere in the ground was totally dead. Longford got a couple of attacks going then, and the Longford fans decided to make a night out of it. Made plenty of noise. But the performance of the likes of Meenan and McGlade was a huge bonus to Longford. Jamie Doyle there getting a couple of goals. He really needed that as a confidence booster. And Longford are going to be looking to carry that form now into the FAI Cup on Saturday. But again, this was nowhere near good enough for a club like Galway.
Well, Longford will be hoping for no more injuries neither, because they're in desperate states with the actual squad numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, Jamie Hollywood, that was the only negative on the night. He went down with, looked to twist his knee or his ankle in the turf, one of those worrying injuries, whereas there was absolutely nobody near him. It's not an impact injury, and he just goes down and had to be stretchered off.
It's a shame, because he's just been showing sort of like the best form, I think,
for Longford. Yeah, just starting to get going. So, yeah. And he has a really great bond with the fans down there as well. So I know he was going for a scan on Monday, so we'll probably hear at the weekend at the game against Shells how that went. Sam Verdon out for the season, unfortunately.
Desperate blow.
Yeah, that ankle injury he picked up in Sligo. So the numbers are starting to dwindle at Longford. But results like this will certainly give that small core of players a lot of confidence.
Yeah, great to see Jamie Doyle with a double on the score sheet as well, because he's come in and he was suspended for a while, wasn't he? Yeah. But to get the two goals will give him plenty
of confidence. I think from a Longford point of view, it's going to come down to their last three league games. They play Cabinteely at home next. You'd be hoping they can get the win there. Then they go to Drogheda.
That's massive.
That's the one.
Massive,
and,
yeah.
I mean, Drogheda play UCD before that. From a Longford perspective, you'd be hoping UCD can get the win there.
Yep.
And by the time then UCD come to City Calling on the last day of the season, you're hoping UCD have that league title wrapped up. They're on their holidays. Longford get the win, get in the playoffs, and anything is possible from there.
Kieran, you've it all wrapped up.
The master plan.
Well, there's one match in League One this weekend.
It's League One?
League One, the First Division.
First Division.
Yeah, forgive me. Athlone against Cove, Kieran.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, absolute blockbuster.
Let's move on to a couple of blockbusters, John. It's time for our FAI Cup preview, and I'll get my pen and paper out here, because it's time for our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game.
Yeah.
And I clawed it back last week, John, 7-2.
Is an unlikely comeback on the cards, I think not.
The best comeback since Istanbul is on the cards. Let's start with CIE Ranch against league leaders UCD.
Well, this is going to be a tough one for CIE Ranch. The one thing is they have a home draw, so they'll be delighted with that. It's always better to be at home than travelling.
Not their home ground, though.
No. We're going to hear from the manager in a minute, and they're playing at Piemont at CIE Ranch in this one. Really, really, UCD flying this season. They haven't been beaten very often. What, two or three defeats all season? Yeah. Three defeats. It's a real tough one for CIE Ranch, but you just never know. UCD will have one eye on that.
I'm shaking my head, John.
I know you're shaking your head. I'm trying my best to give them a hope. Kieran, you've given them no hope.
No, from what we were hearing in the interview, which we'll play for you in a second now, from the CIE manager, Piemont pitch should play right into the hands of UCD. Big open pitch, lovely immaculate playing surface. CIE without five or six first team regulars.
It's hard to say.
I hate to write off the non-league team so easily, because it's such a great occasion for them, but I can only see this being quite a comprehensive scoreline.
But they've won the last couple of games. They've kept clean sheets in the cup.
This is a different standard.
Yeah,
this is a fantastic UCD side. Let's make no bones about it. For me, it's a UCD win, John.
Okay, well, I have to agree with that. But as I say, we've got this interview lined up. So let's hear from the manager, Keith Cronin.
So we're joined on the line now by the manager of CIE Ranch. It's, of course, Keith Cronin. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
So Keith, actually, just before we got you on the phone line here to start recording, I just happened to be reading the article that The Sun published about yourself today.
Yeah, we've seen it there today. Decent full-page spreads. More about me brother than I think it was about me. Here on the...
Hope you got a good fee.
Sorry?
I hope you got a good fee.
Yeah, we didn't, Dave. We got well looked after.
Good stuff. Obviously, no fee here tonight, but look, it's cup weekend, so the cup fever is starting. I'd imagine you're well up for this tie.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's a big occasion for us. We only came from junior football, so it's a massive, massive occasion for us. Last 16, the FAI Cup. Something like this doesn't come around too often.
And UCD, obviously, they've been in immaculate form this season. It looks like nobody's going to stop them now in terms of promotion to the Premier Division. Just how big of a test is this now?
Ah, it's a massive test. It's not going to be that we've came up against before. There's no hiding away from the fact you're playing a team that's going into the Premier Division in the country. they're in a massive run of games at the moment. As you said, doesn't look like anyone's going to stop them. But we've nothing to lose. You know, there's no pressure on us. It's an occasion for us, so you go down, we have a go at it.
And you've built, it looks like to me, you've built the team on a good solid defence, you know, clean sheet against Letterkenny Rovers and clean sheet against Dublin Bus. How much would you be relying on that defence at the weekend?
Yeah, well, we've essentially come around at a bad time now. We've lost a lot of players to injuries, but at the start of the season, but the lads that have come in have been unbelievable. We know we're going to have a lot of the ball. We know we're going to have to walk hard, stay tight. Again, though, I'd say we've nothing to lose. It's all the pressure's on them, so we just go and enjoy the occasion.
And tell us a little bit about the club, Keith. Probably we're not too familiar with CIE Ranch, so what level do they currently play and how are you doing so far this season?
Yeah, well, we're only one game into the current season. We won that the weekend there. We beat Bexbury 2-0. We're only a small club. We've only got two sides, Saturday side and Sunday side. Saturday side are in 1B. And ourselves, we've come, the Sunday side have come Premier Sunday. So the last 4 years, we've won three leagues, got promoted again, and we've won two cups along the way. So we're doing okay. We've a good bunch of lads there. Lads walk their backsides off. Normal lads go to work 5-6 days a week. Now I put a couple of nights in training. You couldn't ask for any more. And regards to the club is there now 50-odd years, down in Chicago. I know a couple of years ago he did play in the top division, but he dwindled down through the leagues over the years. And we went back to AUL and then we came back to Leinster Senior League 4 years ago. So I'd like to think we're a club on the up. We're doing really well, and the lads behind the scenes, like Sir John Merriman and Michael Kane, that have been there from the start, are unbelievable. Wouldn't be a club without them. Also, Keith Conroy, who's there with me as coach, what he does work-wise with the club is brilliant as well. So we're getting there.
And saying this, the match against UCD, where's it been held, Keith? Is it, are you having to switch grounds, was it?
Yeah, well, their ground wouldn't be able to facilitate an FAI Cup crash like this, so it's changed up the P-Mounts ground up in Green Oak this Friday night. So they've all the facilities there. It's an FAI pass ground, so they're looking at after us up there.
And are you anticipating that might have any effect on how you set up? Is it a bigger pitch, smaller pitch?
No, we played on the pitch 2 years ago, up there in a cup final, and it's a fantastic pitch, it's a super grass pitch. No excuse for not being able to play football on a pitch like that. It's not too big either, like our own pitch. So, okay, you know, again, any pitch is going to be tough, isn't it, against UCD?
That was just going to be my point, actually, I suppose. An immaculate playing surface is nearly going to fall into the hands of UCD. We could do with some of the old cup magic of the potholes and the soggy corners.
Well, that's what I would have loved to get down the ranch, but that was never going to happen.
Obviously, your brother in the headlines, unfortunately, knocked out of the cup in the last round. I'd imagine you've had a bit of a ribbon over that, but is there any chance he might give you some advice for this tie?
Yeah. Glenn's great. I want to learn, you know, I always go to Glenn. Glenn's brilliant, always there to help out with hand. I've had a few chats with Glenn and a couple of other lads have gave us a dig out, so okay. That's all we can do, isn't it? So you get a bit of advice and then go over it.
And in terms of your own career, how did the decision to go into management come about? And are you looking at maybe this FAI Cup tie? It's the biggest cup competition in the country. As a chance to get your name in out there for maybe future endeavours?
Well, I never thought about sticking my name out there for anything else, never any other jobs. I ended up taking a job down the ranch. I was playing with the ranch for a few years and a couple of lads stepped down and we were doing it. It's one of them small clubs, you know, it's run by lads. We're in the club, always give a dig out. And when the lads told you I was stepping down, we'd no one else to come in and take the managerial role. So I said I'd step in and give it a go, and luckily enough, it's worked out. A lot of the lads have stuck with me. And it's a credit to the lads that are there, to be honest, over the years.
And Keith, any ex-League of Ireland players in the team, or who should we be looking out for in this fixture?
In our team, well, the one that was in our team is Paul Dunby. He played for Bray Wanderers, but he's actually gone on holidays, so we won't be playing.
Right, okay, that's a bit of a blow.
Yeah, well, we're missing actually six first-team players for the match, but again, the lads are stepping in are as good, so we shouldn't have a problem. No excuses.
We've just been speaking to the Maynooth Town manager, and I'm not sure if you read in the last few days an article regarding a potential third tier in the League of Ireland. where the likes of junior and intermediate sides will be brought up to try and fill, I suppose, the void of teens coming into the league. And obviously there's an issue as well with the underage sides, underage players finding it very hard to make the step from 19s up to senior football. What's your views on that as someone that's involved in the non-leagues?
Well, I think financially, I think teams would struggle on that. I know certainly we would, because I don't. You're talking about, you're bringing in referees' fees and that, and you're bringing your ground has to be up to standard. I think if the FAI was going to look after grassroots football on that, where they could put money in the grounds and help clubs out financially, I think it'd work out, especially the bridge gap of the 21s, because there's a lot of young lads floating around football that aren't good enough to make the top tier, would probably be good enough to make it toward our second tier. And they'd need the likes of that to progress into the second tier. But I think in the financial end of it, there'd have to be a lot of work to be done.
I think that's the same opinion that Barry gave us. It's just, it seems to be the financial barrier, I suppose. That's the biggest issue for the clubs.
Like, I mean, just on the finances, like, we're going out, it's cost us nearly €1,200 to put this game on Friday night. Like, and we could never cope with that. You know, when you pay for a ground, you've got referees, officials, you have to pay for ambulances. Mm. And ambulance medical staff, you know, so to do that on a week in, week out basis would be absolutely crazy.
I suppose in terms of the background then, it really is a big effort to put on a game like this. I suppose that's the side of things people don't see.
Yeah, it is a big effort, but as I said, the lads in there, we're in our clubs, Ian Dixon, John Merriman, Michael Kane, they ran through and through, and the work they do behind the scenes, and they've been doing behind the scenes for many years now, has been brilliant.
Well, I think you've covered it from top to bottom. We want to wish you the very best of luck in this big last 16 tie. Non-league upsets are always, I suppose, what makes FAI Cup football so special. And let's hope that we're going to see one at the weekend. I'm sure our UCD listeners won't be too happy with that. But it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And thanks very much for joining us.
Brilliant, lads. And thanks very much for your time. Thanks very much.
Good luck, Keith.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit diaga.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So it's one all Premier Division tie, Kieran, and that is between Derry and St Pat's.
Yeah, a rerun of a previous final, of course, John. Derry, great cup win in the last round, 12-2 at home to Blarney, but this is a different kettle of fish altogether. Pats are going to be coming in buoyed off the back of that great result down at Turner's Cross. They've been playing some good football lately, even when they're not picking up the results. I go for a Pats win.
It normally lets me down, and I'm going to go for a Derry win again, so that'll probably let me down. But look, you've a few to catch up with, so we'll see. But Drogheda host Waterford. Now, this should be a cracker. Drogheda flying high at the top of the First Division. Waterford, of course, in those European spots in the Premier Division.
Yeah, there was no finer win in the last round than Drogheda's home win over Shamrock Rovers. But a team that's above Rovers in the Premier Division table comes to town now. Waterford United, so it's an even bigger test in many ways for Tim Clancy's Drogs. How do you see this one going?
Well, I just think Waterford are going to have too much class for Drogheda. I know they're flying well in the First Division, and I know they beat Rovers, but this is going to be a step too far for them.
It's a tight pitch, can be quite intimidating. You'd like to think the people of Drogheda are going to turn out in force for this one, but obviously they've had the flak yol and things on there recently, so whether the attention will be fully on this game, it's hard to know. There's so many other... That's the biggest problem with League of Ireland football in this country. There's so many other options for people out there, but you really would like to see the people of Drogheda turning out and supporting their side. I'm sure Waterford fans will travel, because I'm sure they're probably thinking if they can get through this one, could be on for them. As you've mentioned, there's a lot of quality in that Blues side. I can see this one being decided quite late on. I'm going to go for a cup upset here, John. I think Drogheda can do it again, yeah.
Wow, okay. Right, we'll see how that one goes.
You're going up Waterford, obviously.
I am going for Waterford, yeah. Dundalk host Finn Harps.
A game I'll be at.
It looks pretty straightforward to me, does this one?
Yeah.
Go for a home win, yeah.
Top class analysis as always.
Yeah, we...
I'm not sure Nigel will be too happy with that short statement on Harps, but...
I can't see anything to give them any hope, to be honest, at Dundalk.
No.
Unless they rest players going for the league, but I just can't see
it. I was thinking
it.
About that the other day to myself. Yeah. Is this going to be a game where Dundalk will surely rest players? They've had a very hectic schedule recently. They have Shamrock Rovers coming up Tuesday week in the league.
Mm.
But Kenny doesn't rest players.
No.
He just simply doesn't do it. So, I know you might look at maybe one or two like Ronan Murray coming in there, but I mean, that's quality. You're replacing quality with quality. So,
yep.
I can't see Dundalk letting up here. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Dundalk win. I want to get a score prediction from yourself.
Dear, right, okay. Well, I'm going to go 4-0 then.
Wow. Poor, well, definitely won't be
poor old Harps, yeah. Galway host Bowes. So, Galway will definitely have a point to prove after that. Poor performance against Longford Town, where Bowes are just on the crescent of a wave after their victory.
John, until I went and watched Galway last weekend, I would have given them a chance in this one. I felt, you know, going to him in DC Park, you'd be hoping a big crowd would turn up. But again, Galway, obviously they've had their attention elsewhere in sporting codes. Galway were absolutely, I can't sum up how bad they were against Longford
Town.
You
didn't rate them, Kieran.
They were absolutely awful. Yeah. Awful. And Bowes
better away from home.
They're coming in on the crest of a wave as well for this Dublin derby win. I know they've struggled to push on at times this season, but they should have no problem beating this Galway side. That back four is so slow. I mean, the likes of Stokes, Ward, Corcoran should be well able to get in behind and finish their chances. I'm going to go 3-0 Bowes.
Yeah, I expect a Bowes victory as well, so I'm going to go Bowes. Limerick host Cabo, potential banana skin here. Limerick in struggling in the league. Cabo, bit Jekyll and Hyde at times this season.
Yeah, we were talking off air about this one, and I said to you, it's just a pity this isn't in Stradbroke. I definitely see an upset on the cards there.
Yeah.
Limerick, I'm worried for Limerick at the moment because things seem to have gone flat there.
Yeah.
Their performance against Sligo, I think that would be the perfect word to sum it up, would be flat. Morrissey probably isn't going to be fit just yet to come in and start a game. I think he's their main goal threat. Cabo going to be looking to the likes of Marty Waters, but he's not had a good season at all, John, by his standards. I just give Limerick the edge, but it could be difficult.
Yeah, I think it'll be close, but Limerick to edge it for me as well. So we think going for the Premier League club there. All First Division tie, Longford Town against Shelburne.
Huge game, John. From a Longford's perspective, as nice as it would be to get one over on Shells, especially after that result in Talca recently, which was just a shambles of a game after the refereeing decisions that went against Longford. Shells have had the upper hand in this fixture this season. Beat Longford 3-2 in Talca, but again, with controversial decisions attached to that game. They got a draw down in City Colum, and Longford probably should have won on that night. So the meetings have been entertaining, they've been close, they've been full of controversy. And as a result, I feel there's a bit of a rivalry building in this fixture.
Yep.
Shells, a Saturday afternoon, evening, I should say. I'm sure they're going to bring a big crowd with them. So you'd like to think the atmosphere is going to be red hot, and this could be a bit of a classic cup tie. You've mentioned the shortage of bodies in terms of Longford, a lot of injuries starting to mount up. But on the flip side of that, then you have players like Jamie Doyle coming into the side looking to prove a point. McGlade is in red hot form. Will Shells maybe deploy some of the dark arts, maybe look to get a few kicks early on?
Oh, you're saying it's going to be a hatchet man job? And
it's a tough one to call, John. With home advantage, you'd like to think Longford can do it. I think this one definitely goes to extra time. And with Longford's record in this fixture, you know, I don't want to go against them. Don't make me do it. But I'm going to go for a Shells win.
I did Shells against Longford a few weeks ago, and yeah. I was well right, wasn't I?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Shells win, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm going for a Longford win. I'm keeping the faith. I just think the form some of these lads are in is very, very good. And I also think, you know, having those injuries will just... It's forcing Neil Fenn to keep the same structure of team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the big man in the middle... The two outright wingers, the 4-3-3, 4-5-1. Yeah, I think it'll suit.
What will
Longford.
People think? I mean, I can't even make the game. My girlfriend's 21st is on this weekend. Happy birthday, Kira. So I'll actually be at the Dundalk game the previous night, and now I'm backing, well, not backing against Longford, but I'm tipping the Shells win here. People are going to think I've totally turned my back on them, but yeah, just with the way the fixtures have gone this season, I just feel Shells might nick it.
No, it won't happen.
Well, I hope I'm wrong.
Time to progress, Kieran.
I hope I'm wrong, but it should be a cracking tie either way, John. And as always, we'd appeal to the people of Longford to get out and support their side. 7:30 on Saturday at City Colum Stadium.
The second and final non-league side still in the cup is Maynooth University Town. And they have got, well, couldn't have been any harder draw for them. But on the upside, at least they might make a few quid. They're going to Turners Cross to play Cork.
But as Barry Prendeville, their manager, said in the interview, which we'll play in a moment for you, they might not have that usual same following that they have, but you'd like to still think that'll be well over maybe the 2,000 mark, so a few quid to be made for Maynooth. But it's not about the money, it's about a big day out in the cup, a new experience for a lot of their players. But this is certainly, yes, I know they've had days out with the Aviva, but this is a different level altogether against Cork, best side in the country in terms of the league and the cup under their belt. Obviously it looks like Dundalk may steal that league title, and we'll have to see if they're going to avoid each other again and meet in the final. People are starting to think,
let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not, but you just get that feel at the moment, don't you? But I really can't see anything other than a comprehensive Cork win, and it's going to be a game again where the likes of Josh O'Hanlon might get a look in there and get a couple of goals.
Yeah, I'm sure Cork will play a few fringe players in this one, but you're right, when the draw was made it was just, oh, it's going to be Cork Dundalk again, isn't
it?
But look, for the sake of anybody watching the match, let's hope it's not. Sorry about that, Cork and Dundalk fans. But look, we're going to chat now with Maynooth University Town Manager Barry Prendeville.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined on the line now by the manager of Maynooth University Town FC. Of course, a huge trip to Turner's Cross in the FAI Cup last 16 this weekend. It's Barry Prendeville, the manager of the first team. Barry, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
So, Barry, I'd imagine there's a great buzz around the camp. It's not too often non-league teams get to this stage of the FAI Cup, and you couldn't have got a tougher ask, I suppose, to go away to not just the league champions, but last season's cup winners as well.
Yeah, look, you know, it's a great opportunity for us. Obviously, like you mentioned, you know, they're a fully professional outfit, and we're an amateur football club. We have got a lot of experience in League of Ireland underage and some first-team League of Ireland experience, but you know, look, it's a great opportunity for our lads. We've absolutely nothing to lose. We're going to go down with a positive attitude, and we're going to see if we can get something out of the game. You know, let's see if we can make that miracle happen. It does happen in football sometimes, and we're going to plan as well as we can with the resources we have, and see where it takes us.
Yeah, and a good victory in the last round against Leeds, 2-0. You must have been delighted with that.
Yeah. No, that was actually our fourth Cork team on this cup run that we've played. We've played Rockmount. I think it was 2-0. We beat them down in Cork, and then we played Blarney in the next round away in Cork again, and that was 2-0. And then I think to get to qualify for the FAI Senior Cup, we played Everton up in Maynooth, Everton Football Club from Cork, and then we ended up getting Leeds again, then another Cork team. So actually Cork City will be the fifth Cork team we've played in this run.
Should have no problem dispatching those. So,
well, you can stick it on your CV, you've already beaten Everton and Leeds, so Cork shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. So now look, I played against Cork down in Cork, Turner's Cross, plenty of times as a player. I'm under no illusion, and the players are under no illusion, you know, as to the task that we have in front of us, you know, that way. So, but you know, we're up for it. You know, that way. We played in a bigger stadium in the Aviva in May, in the final of the Intermediate Cup. So, I don't think the size of the ground, or maybe I wouldn't even think they'll have their usual crowd, you know, size crowd. You know, I don't think that's going to intimidate the players. They're fairly used to playing in front of a reasonable crowd, and they certainly did last May. So, I don't think that's the worry. Obviously, the quality of the opposition is going to be higher. That's probably more of an issue than anything else, you know.
Obviously, the Cork players are well profiled. Just back from a European trip, didn't go their way, but I'm sure you know their team inside out. But maybe for our listeners that wouldn't be as familiar with the Maynooth set up there, can you tell us a little bit more about the club and about the team itself?
Yeah, well, the club is a Maynooth University town. It's an amalgamation. It's a partnership with the local town, where Maynooth is a university town. It's the only university town in the country. So you know, we linked about 4 years ago. So Maynooth Town as a club achieved intermediate standard for the first time, and I was looking for what was happening is we have our own scholarship program, and we take usually League of Ireland players in, you know, young League of Ireland players in, whether it's St. Pat's or whatever League of Ireland club. And but they don't always stay at League of Ireland level. They drop out after under-19s, or they just get disillusioned. So to retain their scholarship, I would say, well, listen, if you can come and play for our Leinster Senior League team, you can retain your scholarship. And these are good players still, you know, that way. So they just might not be physically, emotionally, or maybe even technically, you know, good enough or ready enough to play in the League of Ireland senior section, you know, or senior teams. So, but they're still damn good players, and we want to retain them on the scholarship program. So, for me to see them train every, you know, how often they're training, and keep an eye on them all the time, it works well, you know, it has worked well.
Barry, is there any names or any players that we could watch out? Any familiar names in the team?
Well, we've Shane Hart has played for Sunderland. He's 39, actually 38 or 39. Yeah, Shane. He's played for Sunderland, and he played for Pats, and he played for Galway. He played for a few clubs. He'd be more than likely at right back. Darragh Rayner played for Bohemians, and he played for Nottingham Forest as well. In centre midfield, but we've a lot of players that have played League of Ireland. You know, Darragh Gannon's played for Shelburne, Conor Mooney has played for St Pat's underage, Conor Dunn has played for Shamrock Rovers under 19s and First Division. Sorry, remember they had the squad in the First Division.
I think so, Conor was with Longford as well, if I'm correct in saying it's the same player.
Yeah, so I mean, all of them, a lot of our players have had a little, you know, have had a, you know, certainly trials at League of Ireland clubs, or played for League of Ireland clubs, or been to England on trials and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a bit of quality there, obviously, you know, compared to who we're talking about on Friday night. They're, you know, not there right now, but, you know, they are good quality players, you know.
And it's funny, we were talking before the show about John Delaney, and he was saying about the potential third division in Ireland. That could be something that you maybe look to in a few years' time.
Yeah, well, look, I'd be lying if I said it's never been discussed within our own football club, the possibility of League of Ireland. But, I saw the third division article in the on social media yesterday. And I don't know, I mean, if you'd ask an Avondale or a Crumbly United or a Maynooth University Town, do you want to now, like, it's going to cost you so much more now to be travelling around the country to be playing in this league. I don't know. I think that might kill a few clubs. I'm not sure if the clubs would be interested in doing it. You know, would they financially be able to do it? You know, that way. So I don't know. I'm sure I can understand the logic behind it, but I'm not sure if it would work. I mean, there was a lot of comments on that social media where I seen the report. That, you know, there's a lot of League of Ireland clubs struggling as it is. Mm. So you're going to start, you know, a third division with and putting financial pressure on amateur clubs, you know, that way. So, and the ones, the clubs that are in the League of Ireland, whether it's Premier or First Division, are financially under pressure already. And, you know, so I'm not sure if that's the right way to go.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be properly funded, isn't it, Barry? It's okay there as an idea in theory, but you're dead right. It's going to have to be funded properly and enable clubs to do it.
You know, that way. So to then, you know, they'd have to really think it through. You know, whoever, it would have to be maybe regionalised and then maybe into a finals, and then whoever goes into the First Division says, they'd have to be financially supported for the first 2 or 3 years of doing it, maybe in some way. It would have to be thought through like that, you know. So I don't think it's going to happen very soon, I don't think, anyway.
And Barry, just from your own point of view, you had a very good career in the past. You know, you're over in England, I believe. Coventry, was it?
Yeah, I was early 90s, 1993, I think, 1992, 1993, I signed for Coventry. And
you were there when they won the cup final, were you?
You what?
They won the cup final. Was that was probably in the 80s, I think.
No,
was it?
That was before. That was the 80s. Was it 89? But Coventry would have been a well-known club. I know that football people still know Coventry City, but it would have been a well-known club then because it had been in the top league for a long time. You know that way? So, but I had an opportunity to sign for various different clubs. Bigger clubs in Coventry, but I thought that moving to Coventry, there was a lot of Irish there at the time, and I would have a better opportunity to play in the first team because the likes of Tony Sheridan had broken into the first team, Willie Boland had, who was involved with Limerick now, he was involved with the first team. So there was a lot of lads that had been given an opportunity, so I thought, I mean, that would be the way to go, you know, that way. But that doesn't always work out like that. But I was on the bench a number of times for Coventry, you know, that way. So, but anyway, that was one of the clubs I played for at the end. But I played professionally for 12 years with various different clubs, Oldham, St Pat's, Shelburne, Ayr United, Hibs. So I had a had a career. I never got to the heights of a Robbie Keane or a Roy Keane, or, but I definitely had a professional career. So not a lot of people can say that they have that, you know. So.
And finally, Barry, just in terms of the build-up to an FAI Cup game, how different, or is there any differences between how you would prepare for this game and a normal league game? And even in terms of just doing media events like this, do you find that a big difference?
Our preparation, will it be different? Is that the question you're asking? Yeah. You broke up a bit. Look, I was talking to a guy today about the match. I mean, I'm going to give them a bit more information, because we have a little bit more information on the opposition. Mm. Obviously, it being Cork City, it wasn't hard to get information on them. But, you know, we wouldn't necessarily have loads of information on the teams we play against. And for us then to get overload players with loads of information, I don't know if that's the way to go. It probably, you know, I won't do that. I'll give them more information than usual, but I'm not going to bombard them with information, because we don't usually do that, and that's going away from their routine. So we want to keep it as normal as possible. And you know, footballers love habit and love know what they're doing, and they know, want to know what they're doing in training. They want to know what I'm training. So we're not going to, deviate very, very far from what we usually do. I said maybe a little bit more information. We'll have a team meeting before training tomorrow evening, and but it won't be too much different.
Barry, been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much, and on behalf of myself and John, we want to wish you the very best of luck in the cup. Always great to see you, John Killen.
Pleasure, lads. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So thanks to Barry and all three of our guests tonight. I think you'll agree, an excellent FAI Cup special once again. We really do enjoy bringing these to you. And obviously we'll have them again for the quarterfinals, semi-finals, and then we'll have our grand FAI Cup final special, just like we did last season. But as we were saying, John, we're hoping it's not a Cork Dundalk final.
Yes, apologies to Cork and Dundalk fans again.
Yeah, so that is the end of tonight's show. Before we go, once again, really, really need to stress this. There was a lot of you earlier in the season looking for Between the Stripes LOI podcast on SoundCloud. We eventually have got round to it. We've set it up. Last week was the debut of Between the Stripes LOI podcast on SoundCloud, so you can go back and listen to last week's episode, and tonight's episode is obviously going to be on it. So if you're listening on SoundCloud, we'd really love you for you to hit the follow button and give it obviously a repost on SoundCloud as well. The link is www.soundcloud.com/Between the Stripes, so it's nice and easy to remember. So we really would appreciate as many follows on that platform as possible. And we actually have a competition going at the moment. Anyone who follows our new SoundCloud account between now and next Wednesday's show will be put in the draw for a mixed crate of St. Mel's finest beer.
That better not be my mixed crate.
We'll see.
No,
the good folks at St. Mel's have thrown us out another crate, so we're going to put that on offer to anyone who follows our SoundCloud account.
That's a fantastic prize.
Fantastic, and thanks to the folks at St. Mel's for that. Been very generous sponsors this year. In terms of other sponsors, just before we go, Flomax.ie, the main title sponsors here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We simply would not be here without them and their support. And Diageo.ie, the creators of Between the Stripes.ie. Make sure you check out both of those websites. That's been another edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to John, and as always, thanks to Lockery's Pharmacy in Drumlish for hosting us, and we'll speak to you next week as we run down what I'm sure will be an action-packed FAI Cup. Thanks very much, folks.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.